in it. Lord, I thank you, God, that you are up to something so good. And Lord, that you alone is going to be glorified in your people in this hour. Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you will be with me, and Lord, that you will speak through me, God, the words that you want your people to hear. Lord, without you, I can do nothing, but with you, God, we can do all things. I thank you, God, that you're faithful. I thank you, Lord, that God, there's something, Lord, to be, Lord, there's a nugget, Lord, in this word, because your word always gives us nuggets, Lord. And so, Father, I pray, because we're all at different levels, that God, somebody, everyone will just receive some nugget today, Lord. Father, that will help them to continue to run the race that is set before them, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of their faith. Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Happy New Year to you guys, and to if anybody is online, Happy New Year. And I'm going to just start out with Nehemiah. Numbers 6:22. Numbers, not Nehemiah. Numbers 6:22. And I'm gonna just pray over you, because this is, I'm a priest. I remember meeting a priest, and my mom introduced me to a priest, and she goes, "Mary, this is the priest," and I can't remember his name. And I looked at him and I said, "Hi." I said, "My name's Mary, and I'm a priest too." Anyways, my mother looked at me like, "What?" But anyways, so in Numbers 22, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them," and this is what I'm going to speak over you guys and all of New Life Outreach for the new year. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And so they will put my name, the priest, on the Israelites, and I will bless them." So, Lord, I just pray that blessing for each one. Okay. So, I know if Terry was preaching today, he'd teach on vision, your vision board. I don't know for sure, but I know you talk about vision boards. But I just think, Lord, I'm honored that you would let me, would fall that I would speak the first message. So I'm thinking, well, God, I'm going to encourage you in the new year. He started out, I'm going to read, Isaiah 61, because this is what the church, what he wants to do in and through the church. "So the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me," or I'm going to say New Life Outreach, "because the Lord has anointed us to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair or heaviness. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd their flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called the priests of the Lord. You will be named the ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you will boast. Anyways, it continues on. But when I read that, I said, Lord, I know that, you know, since 2020, the church has been going through a real reset and renewal, and God is doing a real work in the church. And I'm really glad because I don't want to ever go back. I don't want to go back. So the only thing that we can do is to go forward. Even though there's some things we don't understand, and we've got to just be prepared. And like I know Jan said this morning that, you know, it's going to be okay. So I know our mindset has to be, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Yeah, even though we're walking through some minefields, it's going to be okay. And we got to remember this. So we got to be strong in our inner man. Luke 13:6-8. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. And he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." And when I read that, I thought, you know, Lord, this is our second year since 2002. And we're moving into our third year now. And the church looks good, but hasn't been really developing the fruit that God has expected it to develop. And I think, Lord, I don't want to look good and not develop any fruit. Because we could all look good. But there's fruit to be developed. And God knows how to bring that fruit forth inside of each one of us. So in the new year, I want to encourage everyone here to challenge yourself. Because I can't do it for anybody else. I only can, you know, watch my own walk with the Lord. I was thinking of that scripture this morning. Be careful how we build. Because people build on wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to be burned away. It's got to be done the way God wants, you know, us to build. So it is not a time to give up. None of us have arrived. There are all in us, all areas that we can improve. And I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to Mary. You guys are just getting what I hear. Okay? But there is areas in all of our hearts and our lives that we can improve. God and me know my weaknesses. I may not know your weakness, but God knows it. He knows it. So what is God requiring for us or for me this year? And I just wrote some things down here. Some things may connect with you, some may not. And it's both natural and spiritual, okay? Maybe we need to make some new connections that we haven't made, and we've got to have the courage to go ahead and when God puts someone on your heart, go make that connection. Take a course and finish it. How many, you know, I've taken courses and not finished it. But God says, take a course, finish it. Read a book. Start that business that God's put on your heart. get healed. Get healed. God wants us to get healed. We need to have the courage to face wounds, get prayer, and in our vulnerability, trust God. Don't waste time. Don't be negative. Keep order in your home. If you have to start one room at a time, start one room at a time. But there's a pressing in this new year. There's a press. We've got to continue to press. Fast. I mean, some of us are fasters and some of us are not. And I know that it was a lot easier, 10 years ago for me to fast than it seems to be now. But it's an area where I need to be strengthened in, even if it's for once a week. I know a lot of churches move into 21 or they're doing 22 days now because it's the 2022. So they're actually doing 22 days. But anyways, fasting, because fasting humbles us. You're in a position of humility when you fast. You say, Lord, I care more about what's ahead in this year than my food. So it gives you direction. Maybe join that prayer group that you thought, I don't really need to join. Lose that 10 pounds that you know that God's telling you to lose. Vision board. Now, I agree that, yeah, we need to have a vision. But what I got for the vision board is leave the results to God. Like, plan lightly and include God in your vision board. Because as we get older, sometimes we can be so set in our ways. And it's like, this is what I want. This is what I don't want. You can't move me there. This is how I've always done it. And God's saying, like, maybe he wants to take us through a different route. You know, he doesn't want us to be so set in our ways that he can't bend us. You know, like he might say, I want you to go for a walk this morning. I want you to eat, breakfast at lunchtime, like whatever. Like I want you to drive this way home instead of that way home. Like we don't have to be so dogmatic in some of our ways. So, don't be stubborn and say, like, for example, at Christmas time, I went to my daughter's in Vernon, and I do not drive home in the wintertime. I don't go to trail in the wintertime. And so Steve and Jennifer were going to trail. Well, actually, we were planning to go to trail. And so I said, well, you guys, if it's really snowing, like, we don't want to go to trail. You know, and so we went to bed that night saying, well, we'll just sleep on it. And we'll wake up. And this was Christmas Day. We're going to wake up and decide that morning. And I had such a peace about going to trail. Like, I could not shake the peace. It's like, Lord, I don't know what this is, but you want me to go to trail. And on the weather report was, like a dangerous roads, like a big storm warning in trail. Like 15 to 30 centimeters of snow, and you're wanting me to go to trail. And I'm thinking, and it was when we got to that end, that's when the storm warning was. And I thought, Lord, we did not leave till 1. But I'll tell you, that whole day in the car, I had such a peace. Now, I could have fought that peace and thought, no, I'll be stubborn, and I just decide I'm not driving home for Christmas. But I woke up, and I thought, Lord, I don't understand this, but you want me to go, and I'm going. And he was faithfully watched over us. And I'll tell you, we were plowing after the cusp. We were plowing through that snow. And by the time we got to trail, it was dark. And I chewed gum like I've never chewed gum in that back seat. And I read 4 chapters of a book. And every now and then I'd look up and then I'd look back down. I didn't want to see it, Anyways, Steve was awesome in it. The thing is, I had to trust God and in trusting Steve, because Steve says, that doesn't bother me. So I had to trust God in it. James 4:13-16. And also, a few weeks ago, I preached on courage. And if it's one thing I don't want to do is preach to the people and not do it myself. Like I thought, Lord, I don't want to fall. If I tell them to have courage, I got to have it too. James 4:13, it says here, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on a business, make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and such boasting is evil. So I think there's a humility in saying, Lord, if it be your will, then I'll do this and I'll do that. That's what I mean about the vision board. Lord, if it's your will, this is what I see. This is what my heart's desire is. So I'm inviting you into that plan. And we just have to know, we don't have to turn there, Romans 10:11, that says that God never disappoints us. I know that God's plan is better than my plan. And Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans of men, but God determines our steps. Another thing that we really need to do this year is read the Word. We need to meditate on the Word. We need to decree and declare the Word of God and not how we feel, and somehow get our emotions line up with the Word. We need to listen to the Word. We need to sing the Word. I don't know about you guys, but there are times where I know that, if I'm tired or whatever, I need to sleep with the Word on and let the Word minister to my own spirit. I guess because I'm single, I can leave the Word on next to my bed. Maybe you can't, but I can. His Word is a light to our path. His Word won't return void. Let His Word transform me. That Word of God has to transform me. We need time for just worship at home and time for just allowing the presence of God and the intimacy of the Lord minister to us. And we need, like it says, those that know their God will be strong. That word know means intimately. Those that know their God intimately will be strong. And I was thinking about, the songs that we sang this morning, and Lord, let the glory fill this place. You know what? When I have an intimate relationship with the Lord and there are people out after me, there is a peace and a security that I have. The greatest weapon that we can have is our intimacy with the Lord. It really is, because every plan of the enemy is going to fall short. So that is my greatest place of warfare, is intimacy with the Lord. It really is. Because touch not God's anointed. I have a fellowship and a relationship with the Lord. And so to me, that is a strong place we need to be. And the enemy will try everything to cause that to be hindered. Is that alone time with the Lord? Maxine said the other day, take the prayer, our phone list, and pray over the phone list. And some of us need to take that prayer phone list and start praying, because what happens when you, I thought, Lord, I love you guys more than I did 10 years ago. Do you know why I love you guys more? It's not because you guys have changed. Well, I shouldn't say that. Maybe I've changed. But why I realize that is because of prayer. It is because of prayer that I've actually loved the people of God more. That God's doing a work in my heart that has caused me to love people of God more. So when we start praying for the people of God, we forget about us and we focus on them. And that's the kind of love that God wants. So when Maxine said, take that prayer list and start praying over one person, do that. Because to me, that's a good thing to do. I shouldn't say do that. That's a good thing to do. It's a good place to start in the new year. Transitioning. I want to talk about transitioning because we've transitioned from 2021 to 2022. And there is no way we can get back 2021. We have got to let go of everything that happened in 2021, whether it was good and whether it was bad. And we have got to go forward. So don't look back. I actually drove to my place, my house where I used to live for 18 years the other day. And I sat there and I looked at it and I said, Lord, there is nothing in me that wants to even go back. Yeah, and I just thought, I tell you, it was hard getting me out of there because I loved it. I loved that place. And yet I looked and I thought, Lord, that's not my home. Like, you got something in store for me ahead, you know? And so I just thought, Lord, that's only God. It really is only God. There's nothing. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. So transition is a change or a shift from one state, one subject, one place to another. God wants you to know that He's got some places for you to get to. There is a place that is waiting for you. And we have got to occupy that place. So we are in a transition. The whole church is in a transition because there is a place that the church is transitioning to. Okay, we haven't. So I'm thinking individually, Lord, I want to step into the place that you have for me. This is called destiny. The church has a destiny. That's what we've got to press towards, that place that God has for us. I know I was given a prophetic word about metamorphosis with Jan, that I was in, and I never connected it, but I've been in physical transition, but, you know, and I remember you telling me about the butterfly, and so God is transitioning me, and I never, all because I was transitioning in the natural, I never seen that God is transitioning me, like both naturally and spiritually. And so this was good because metamorphosis, as the butterfly, it's from a worm to a butterfly or a caterpillar, and it's a change of physical form, structure, or substance. And it says this, especially by supernatural means. Hallelujah! Like, it actually says, especially by supernatural. It is a supernatural thing for, you know, some caterpillar to turn into a butterfly. Doesn't look at all like the first. It was totally transitioned. And it could do things that the other one couldn't do. You know? And so that's what we want to do. We want to go through the metamorphosis. You know? It also says a striking alteration in appearance, character, or circumstance. Isn't that great? That's what we want. Changeover, conversion, transformation, transfiguration. That's the church. That's the church. We all come in like a worm or a butterfly. a worm or a caterpillar. God's transforming us. Transition is a period or a phase in which such a change or a shift is happening. It's happening. It is so happening in the church, and I'm so grateful. I believe that many will rise up in what God has called them into in this hour. I really do. I woke up the other morning, and Now, you know, you guys are probably all scholars here, so you would know exactly what that word meant, but I really didn't get a grasp of it. The word is default. I did not. I thought, what's, you know, and so anyways, I woke up and all of a sudden, I love this because when God all of a sudden downloads something into your spirit when you know that you don't understand it. And in an instant, I understood default. And I thought, that's what that is. And what God was showing me, a default means a failure to do something required by duty or law, a fault, a neglect. There was a default in my mind. So what he's saying, because I said, Lord, like, this is the truth, and this is what how the enemy comes in to my emotions or my thoughts. But this is the truth, and I want everything in me wants the truth. And he said, because Mary, there is a default in your thinking. And he says, what it does is it actually just shifts back to the old. So I had to look at, now this one I said, be healed. So I said, okay, Lord, what wound on the inside of me causes me to default to that type of thinking? Because something in me is kicking back, just like a computer. And it says computers. To make a selection automatically in the absence of a choice made by the user. I'm the user, and I don't choose that. But it's defaulting back into that. That was my thoughts. So I got it. God says there's some strongholds and there's some mindsets on the inside of us that need to be healed. Because we keep defaulting back to the old. And God doesn't want that anymore. He wants us to get a hold of the new and what's ahead. So another thing we can do this year is look deeper. Go deeper. Deep calls unto deep. And that's the Spirit of God on the inside of me calling unto my deep. You know, so I say ask why. Pay attention to your reactions. Pay attention to your hurts. Pay attention to pain, because pain tells you something's wrong. So let's pay attention to it. Like if all of a sudden we have pain in an area or something says something, we got to pay attention to it because then that tells us there's a hurt there. And God wants to heal. God wants us to be so healed and so whole in this hour. Because remember I read Isaiah? We got to be those people to the people that aren't, to the people that are coming in. You know, so like, and God is so loving and he is so good. Like he woke me up at 2:30 the other morning and he gave me a word of encouragement. I said, what kind of a God would wake me up at 2:30 in the morning? Just speak a word to me. Can't do it while I'm awake. Too many things going on. They'll wake me up at 2:30 in the morning and speak such a word. That's how much he loves us. Get used to different. I know the Chosen says that, but God's saying it too. Get used to different. I was thinking of Peter or Paul and Silas in prison. I just wrote here, may not have all the ducks in a row. There was no band in that prison. Nobody to encourage them but them. So open your mouth and worship. Be strong in your inner man. And if I can't open my mouth at home and worship God, I thank God for the body of Christ. I really do. I love meeting together. I love coming to the house of God. But if I could only worship here and not in my own home, when I'm discouraged or when I'm going through it, something's wrong. Like something is wrong. If I can't, you know, I just think, look, Lord, I'm just down in here. You know, there's no band playing or anything, but Lord, I worship you, Lord. I can praise you, God. I can sing. I can stir myself up right here, right now. I don't need the band because I am that instrument of praise. I am that instrument of praise. Another thing that I have discovered just in the last little while, and I know a few of us in this house have, is communion. I cannot stress that enough. If we're feeling distant, from the Lord, the blood of Jesus has made a way and has a seat for you there. If we were unworthy enough for him to say, I'm going to save you and I'm going to wash all your sins away. And then when it comes time to communion, the enemy says, well, you can't do that. And it's like, no, I can do that because he's made a way with his blood. So take communion, probably more often than you ever have before. Because God says, I have eagerly desired, and I believe that God eagerly desires to have that communion table with us. Yeah, and something supernaturally is taking place, and maybe that's why, you know, that's maybe why I got healed, you know, with this default thing, you know, was because of the communion table, because he's healing us, body, soul, and spirit. Now, turn to John 15, 1 to 8. So, when we had Bible study on Wednesday night, I don't know about you guys, but I really pay attention to the scripture that God gives me. Because there's something in the scriptures that he personally gives me. Jim is handing out the scriptures, and it's everybody's turn. And remember, I even said, wait a minute, you're not doing it in the right turn. It's Karen's turn before me. But I said that, but this was a scripture that God's saying, like, I know it, you're used to that, but it is your turn, Mary, because I need you to read it. So anyways, the scripture was, I am the vine, verse 5, 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You could do nothing. That was my scripture. So, I knew God was speaking in my heart in that scripture. Okay, he's like saying, Mary, you gotta remain in me. You gotta, because you can't do anything without me. So I'm gonna read though from verses 1 to 8. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is for the church. We need to remain in God. And we are going to bring the Father glory by the fruit. You know, I was thinking of, you know, Paul. Like, you know, what a joy when you finally go home and say, here's all my fruit. Like, here's some fruit, Lord, you know, to the Father's glory. Like, what a joy. Like, there's, that's joyful. So when we neglect the source of our strength and power, we wither. Okay, it says that some withered. And we render ourselves ineffective. Now, when we look there, in verse 2, it says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So we see that there's two branches there, and all the branches were unproductive at times. Okay, so we got to know that at times we're going to be unproductive. So, and I can say that because you guys aren't young in the Lord, that we're probably in the pruning stage. We're in the pruning stage, okay? So the reason that God prunes us is so that we will produce fruit in the next season. Abide, says he, you must abide in me. Abide means to remain, live, stay, dwell. To remain fixed or stable. So it's not how much we know or how much we are praying or how much we go to church or whatever. The key to being used greatly by God is by abiding in the vine. That's our key. We need to abide in the vine. So, it's amazing what you can discover when you go into the Greek or the Hebrew. And there is this one commentary, and in the NIV, it says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Where other translations, but the better translation of this is he actually lifts up. Doesn't cut off. He lifts up. And I always wondered about that because I thought, Lord, you just don't cut us off. You know, like you want us to bear some fruit. And so what we have to do is go into, it's called viticulture or the vine dressers. Okay. So we have to see what they do with branches that are not producing fruit. Okay. So, Israel is often represented as a grapevine. And, I'm not going to turn there, but you can write it down if you want. Psalm 88, Isaiah 1-7, and Jeremiah 2:21, which I will say that. Jeremiah 2:21, it says, I had planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt wild vine? So, I know God is into, being our vine dressers. So there's two type of branches, those that bear fruit, those that do not bear fruit. The first one, the unfruitful branches that are taken away, the Greek word for takes away is aerei. It's A-E-R-E-I. And can be translated as lifts up or takes away. The NIV says cuts off, so we go to the vine dressers and ask them what they do with the unfruitful branches. I've got it on my phone. This is so good. Okay, the Greek word means lifts up or takes away but never cuts off. So how are we to know what translation to use? we go to the vine dressers and ask them what they do with unfruitful branches. And what is it that they do? Grape vines, if left unattended, will grow along the ground, and if left lying on the ground, will send little roots down into the soil rather than produce any fruit. They may produce a few tiny clusters of bitter grapes this way, but since they are trying to draw nutrients from the soil where their own roots cannot get deep enough, they will not produce grapes. So when a vine dresser comes along and sees the branches lying on the ground, he knows that what they need is not to draw their own nutrients from the soil, but to get their nutrients from the vine, because the vine's root system goes deep. And so what does he do? He lifts the branch up off the ground and supports it in the air with trestles or lattice work. This way, the branch has no choice but to draw all of its sustenance from the vine, and as a result, will produce many sweet clusters of grapes. So that is more that word where he cuts off. He doesn't cut us off. What he does, he lifts us up. He lifts us up and he secures us, because he can't let us try to do our own thing. But it continues. So that's with the cut off every branch of the mere that bears no fruit. But I'm going to go with the second one now. What happens to the branch that bears fruit? He prunes. So, now the pruning, I wasn't sure if I even liked that word. They're pruned. Okay, The word here in verse 3 now, it says here, but you are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. That word clean means, because it's the same thing, it's K-A-T-H-A-I-R-O. It's a Greek word, and it means to cleanse, to purify, or to prune. So that word clean actually means to prune, to make clean by purging, removing undesirable elements, hence pruned or purged, eliminated what is fruitless by purifying, to cleanse properly from the filth, impurity, trees, and vines, from useless shoots to the prune. So, I'm going to read now. Now I'm going to read about the pruning. Okay. So now this is a live branch, but God actually has taken it and pruned it back. Okay. This is a live branch. You guys are all already producing fruit. Okay. But live wood must be trimmed back in order to prevent such heavy growth that the life of the vine goes into the wood rather than the fruit. The vineyards in the early spring look like a collection of barren, bleeding stumps, but in the fall they are filled with luxurious grapes. Non-fruit branches were not cleaned up this way. They were allowed to grow as much as they wanted, any direction they wanted. They were not hindered in any way. The goal was to get them to grow as fast as possible in every direction so that they would be large branches next year and therefore able to produce fruit. But when a branch was producing fruit, the vine dresser wanted all the nutrients and energy the branch drew from the vine to go directly to the fruit. He didn't want the branch to waste energy growing leaves. Let the non-fruit bearing branches do that. He didn't want the branch to grow in length. It was already long enough. From the fruit bearing branch, the only thing the vine dresser wanted was fruit. So when I read that, I thought, God, that is why like when you think of new believers, okay, when you think of new believers, they are different than mature ones. Okay, mature ones, you don't need to be involved in everything. What you need to be involved in and where God is leading you to. Okay, so you're more focused. It's like, this is my call. This is what God's called me to. And so you allow that pruning because God has got a specific call, a specific plan and purpose for your life. But not the new believers. They could be in the youth group. They can be on the drums. They could be, you know, in the kitchen. They can be wherever. They've got way more energy than we do. But God's not interested in that, because what He's interested in is that they need to get their branches strong enough to bear fruit. But not for us. Where are we? And I'm telling you, it's like, Lord, thank you for revealing that to me, because you know what? It's a lot easier to go through stuff when you know what He's doing. Because when you have an understanding of what He's doing, instead of hardening your heart and turning away from Him and getting mad and getting angry and why aren't these people listening and why isn't this changing, we have to look at us. And so when I get an understanding of where God has me, and if He's pruning me, why is He pruning me? Because of the purpose and plan and call of God on my life or our lives, that He's doing this with you. And so to me, when I discovered all this, it's like, Lord, thank you. Like, it is a loving, God the Father, it says that God, the Father is a gardener, but Jesus is a true vine. And the reason He had to say, I'm the true vine, because, you know, that they, Israel was a vine, but they weren't doing it right. Israel was a vine, but they weren't but when Jesus came, He said, I'm the true vine. So now there's a right way of doing it. You got to connect to me, not just connect to the religious ways that men have always done things. You know, so. And it goes on to say in verse 6, if you do not remain in me and you are a branch that is thrown away and withers. And I know that when we're distant from the Lord, or if we don't spend time with the Lord, or we're not in the Word of God. And that's what I want to encourage you for the new year. We've got to continue to press. And it's not always easy. You know, it just isn't. But I don't want to wither, and I don't want to be dried up, and I want to produce fruit. And I want New Life Outreach to produce the fruit, you know, that we need to produce as a church and individually. Like, it's going to be, and God knows how, God wants me focused to produce the fruit that God has planned for me to produce. And it's going to be much fruit. It's going to be much fruit. It's not just going to be little fruit. And so He will put you in the places that He knows, I'm going to put you here because that is the place that you will produce much fruit. And that's what we want. And I thank God that He lifts us up. He lifts us up and He secures us. So, another thing I know that we need to really press into is humility. That we need to get low. We don't understand everything, nor do we have answers for some things. Some things we just don't have the answers to. And so that there's an attitude of humility. And John 21:5, and this is when Peter, you know, when everything happened and they thought that Jesus was going to be the king, and didn't go the way that those disciples thought it was going to go, right? They all scattered, and then they all went fishing. They all went back. I'm like, it's not going the way I thought. a lot of, you know, people that had left the church is the same way. I ain't going the way that I thought it was going to go, you know? But when Jesus showed up, in a lot of translation, which I missed it when I spoke on Peter, but when Jesus showed up, He did not say, he said to them, children, do you have any food? He called them children. Some translations say friends, but I know mine says children. And he says, he calls them children. So to me, it says, it says here, therefore, anyone who becomes humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And I just think, Lord, that's humility. Like his humility didn't go the way that they thought it was going to go. But that word children really spoke to my heart, because it's humility God wants us to have. You know, he said, I oppose the proud, but I give grace to the humble. God wants us to be a humble people. So, anyways, all these things that I know that, you know, I just want to encourage you to just continue to press. We're all in different places. We all have different callings. And to focus on what God's saying to you as an individual. And just to go on in 2022 and say, Lord, I don't want to just look good. I want to be good. I want to produce fruit for your glory and for your kingdom. That's what we want in this house. Yeah.